Welcome to the Celtic Myth Pod Show, bringing the tales and stories of the ancient Celts to your fireside.
Episode 13, The Wings of Tragedy.
Hello, welcome to the Celtic Myth Pod Show. I'm Gary.
And I'm Ruth. Let's get the show on the road by telling you how you can contact us. You can send us an email at either Gary or Ruth at CelticMythPodShow.com, or you can contact us in lots of other ways. All the details, as usual, are on our website at CelticMythPodShow.com.
We've got a packed show for you today, so we'll crack right on with some news and views. In our last episode, we completed the Book of Invasions and can now present some of the isolated tales from the Irish mythological cycle. We'll start off with the fate of the children of Lear, which we'll finish in the next episode.
I really like these individual tales.
Good.
But I do. I really like them. But probably because the first one I ever read was about Cuchulainn.
An individual tale about Cuchulainn?
Well, it's kind of, okay, a bit of a long, drawn-out tale, but it's one of these extra tales that... Am I totally wrong? Am I talking about the Ulster cycle?
I don't know. I didn't read it. Which one did you read?
About Cuchulainn and Ailill and Math and all that?
No, yeah, that sounds like Cuchulainn, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely a Cuchulainn story. And I can't remember if it's part of the Ulster cycle or part of the mythological cycle now.
Well, I guess we'll see when we get there.
Yes. Okay, anyway, on with the show. Can you bring us up to date with the story so far?
Sure, no problem. We saw the sons of Meal take possession of the Emerald Isle, leaving the Tuatha De Danann to retreat underground. We join the story as the children of Danu choose a new High King to guide them. Sons of the Gael made kingdoms for themselves on the green fields of Erin. Long years in which many of the children of Danu made new homes, deep in tunnels and caverns far underground, leaving their sacred home of Tavir to the sons of Meal. They did not all depart at once, however, and some remained in the wild places, their feet tenderly caressed by Erin's soft grasses, their brows shaded by Erin's ancient trees. After the coming of the Gael, the Tuatha De Danann chose a High King for themselves, and Lir, ancient and seaborn, heard the kingship was given to Bovdurg. Anger came on him like a crashing wave, and he left the gathering without leave and with no word to anyone. For he thought it was he himself had a right to be made king. But even though he went away, Bov was given the kingship nonetheless, for not one of the five kings begrudged it to him, but only Lir. They determined to follow after Lir, and to burn down his house, and to attack him with spear and sword on account of his not giving obedience to the king they had chosen.
Let us follow Lir and burn down his house for his insolence.
Hey, let us attack him with spear and with sword.
We will not do that, for that man would defend any place he is in. And besides that, I am nonetheless king over the Tuatha De Danann, although he does not submit to me.
All went on like that for a good while. But at the last a great misfortune came on Lir, for his wife died from him after a sickness of 3 nights. And that came very hard on Lir, and there was heaviness on his mind after her. And there was great talk of the death of that woman in her own time. And the news of it was told all through Erin, and it came to the house of Bov, and the best of the men of Day were with him at that time.
If Lir had a mind for it, my help and my friendship would be good for him now, since his wife is not living to him. I have here with me 3 young girls of the best shape, and the best appearance, and the best name in all Erin. Eve, Eva, and Elva, the 3 daughters of Aelil of Arran, my own 3 foster children.
That is a good thought.
I agree. What you say is true.
Messages and messengers were sent then, from Bov Derg to the place Lir was, to say that if he had a mind to join with the son of the Dugda, and to acknowledge his lordship, he would give him a foster child of his foster children. Lir thought well of the offer, and he set out on the morrow with 50 chariots from Sí Finacha, and he went by every short way till he came to Bov's dwelling place at Loch Derg, and there was a welcome before him there, and all the people were merry and pleasant before him, and he and his people got good attendance that night. And the 3 daughters of Oilel of Arran were sitting on the one seat with Bov Derg's wife, the first lady of the Tuatha-de Nann, that was their foster mother.
You may have your choice of the 3 young girls, Lir.
I cannot say which one of them is my choice. Whichever of them is the eldest, she is the noblest, and it is best for me to take her.
If that is so, it is Eve is the eldest, and she will be given to you if it is your wish and her consent.
It is my wish. And he took Eve, his wife, that night, and he stopped there for a fortnight. And then he brought her away to his own house till he would make a great wedding feast. And in the course of time, he loved her dearly. And Eve brought forth 2 children, a daughter and a son. Finula and Eve their names were. And after a while she was brought to bed again. And this time she gave birth to 2 sons, and they called them Fiachra and Conn. And she herself died at their birth. And that weighed very heavy on Lir. And only for the way his mind was set on his 4 children, he would have gone near to die of grief. The news came to Bov Derg's place, and all the people gave out 3 loud, high cries, keening their foster child. And after they had keened her, it is what Bov Derg said.
It is a fret to us, our daughter, to have died. For her own sake and for the sake of the good man we gave her to. For we are thankful for his friendship and his faithfulness. However, our friendship with one another will not be broken. For I will give him for a wife, should she consent, her sister, Eva.
When Lir heard that, he came for the girl and married her, and brought her home to his house. And there was honour and affection with Eva for her sister's children, and indeed no person at all could see those 4 children without giving them the heart's love. Bov Derg used often to be going to Lir's house for the sake of those children, and he used to bring them to his own place for a good length of time, and then he would let them go back to their own place again.
The men of Day were at that time using the Feast of Age for all people and taking mead to every hill of the Sí in turn.
And when they came to Lir's hill, those 4 children were their joy and delight for the beauty of their appearance, and they used to sleep in beds in sight of their father Lir. He would rise up at the break of every morning and waken them gently like dawn tide, and play with them as joyful as breaking surf. But it is what came of all this, that a fire of jealousy was kindled in Eva, and she got to have a dislike and a hatred of her sister's children. And she let on to have a sickness that lasted through nearly the length of a year. At the end of that time, she did a deed of jealousy and cruel treachery against the children of Lear. This is how that happened. One day, she got her chariot yoked, and she took the four children in it, and they went forward towards the house of Bob Durg. But Finola had no mind to go with her, for she knew by her she had some plan for their death or their destruction, and she had seen in a dream that there was treachery against them in Eva's mind. But all the same, she was not able to escape from what was before her. And when they were on their way, Eva said to her people,
"Let you kill now the four children of Lear, for whose sake their father has given up my love, and I will give you your own choice of a reward out of all the good things of the world."
"We will not do that, indeed.
It is a bad deed you have thought of, and harm will come to you out of it."
And when they would not do as she had bade them, she took out a sword herself to put an end to the children with. But she, being a woman with no good courage, and with no great strength in her mind, she was not able to do it. They went on then west to Loch Davra, the Lake of the Oaks, and the horses were stopped there, and Eva bade the children of Lear to go out and bathe in the lake, and they did as she bade them. And as soon as Eva saw them out in the lake, she struck them with a druid staff that had a charm of changing in it, and put on them the shape of four swans, white and beautiful. And it is what she said,
"Out with you, children of the king! Your luck is taken away from you forever. It is sorrowful the story will be to your friends. It is with flocks of birds your cries will be heard forever."
"Darkrow, we now know your true name. You have struck us down with no hope of relief. But although you put us from wave to wave, there are times when we will touch the land. We shall get help when we are seen. Help and all that is best for us, even though we have to sleep upon the lake. It is our minds that will travel far early."
And then the four children of Lear turned towards Eva, and it is what Finola said,
"It is a bad deed you have done, Eva, and it is a bad fulfilling of friendship. You to destroy us without cause, and vengeance for it will come upon you, and you will fall in satisfaction for it, for your power for our destruction is not greater than the power of our friends to avenge it on you. Put some bounds now to the time this enchantment is to stop on us."
"I will do that, and it is worse for you, you who asked it of me. And the bounds set to your time are this: till the woman from the south and the man from the north will come together. And since you ask to hear it of me, no friends and no power that you have will be able to bring you out of these shapes that you are in through the length of your lives, until you have been 300 years on Loch Davra, and 300 years on Shroon na Moil between Erin and Alban, and 300 years at Iris Donman and Innis Gora, and these are to be your journeys from this time."
But then repentance came on Eva, and she said,
"Since there is no other help for me to give you now, you may keep your own speech, and you will be singing sweet music of the she that would put the men of the earth to sleep, and there will be no music in the world equal to it, and your own sense and your own nobility will stay with you. The way it will not weigh so heavy on you to be in the shape of birds. And go away out of my sight now, children of Lear, with your white faces and your stammering Gaelic. It is a great curse on tender children, they to be driven out on the rough wind, 900 years to be put on the water. It is a long time for anyone to be in pain. It is I put this on you through treachery. It is best for you to do as I tell you now. Lear, that got so many a victory with a good spear cast, his heart is a kernel of death in him now. The groaning of the great hero is a sickness to me, though it is I that have well earned his anger."
And then the horses were caught for Eva, and the chariot yoked for her, and she went on to the palace of Bob Durg, and there was a welcome before her from the chief people of the place. The son of the Dugdar asked her why she did not bring the children of Lear with her.
"I will tell you that it is because Lear has no liking for you, and he will not trust you with his children for fear you might keep them from him altogether."
"I wonder at that, for those children are dearer to me than my own children."
And he thought in his own mind it was deceit the woman was doing on him. And it is what he did. And he sent messengers to the north to Sí Fhinnecha, and Lear asked them, "What did they come for?"
on the head of your children.
Are they not gone to you along with Eva?
They are not, and Eva said it was yourself would not let them come.
It is downhearted and sorrowful Leah was at that news. For then he understood well it was Eva had destroyed or made an end of his children. And early in the morning on the morrow, his horses were caught, and he set out on the road to the southwest. And when he was as far as the shore of Loch Davre, the four children saw the horses coming towards them. And it is what Finola said.
A welcome to the troop of horses I see coming near the lake. The people they are bringing are strong. There is a sadness on them. It is us they are following. It is for us they are looking. Let us move over to the shore, Eve, Fiachra, and Cumlicon. Those that are coming can be no others in the world but our father Lear and his household.
Then Lear came to the edge of the lake, and he took notice of the swans having the voices of living people. And he asked them why it was that they had that voice. I hear you speaking the Gaelic, and yet you are four swans. What is the cause of this?
I will tell you that, Lear. We are your own four children that are after being destroyed by your wife, and by the sister of our own mother, through the dint of her jealousy.
Is there any way to put you into your own shapes again?
There is no way. For all the men of the world could not help us till we have gone through our time, and that will not be till the end of 900 years.
When Lear and his people heard that, they gave out three great heavy shouts of grief and sorrow and crying. Is there a mind with you to come to us on the land, since you have your own sense and your memory yet?
We have not the power to live with any person at all from this time, but we have yet our own language, the Gaelic, and we have the power to sing sweet music, and it is enough to satisfy the whole race of men to be listening to that music. Let you stop here tonight, and we will be making music for you.
So Lear and his people stopped there, listening to the music of the swans. And they slept there quietly that night. And Lear rose up early on the morning of the morrow. He made this lament. It is time to go from this place. I do not sleep, though I am in my lying down. To be parted from my dear children. It is that is tormenting my heart. It is a bad net I put over you, bringing Eve, a daughter of Oile Lavaran, to the house. I would never have followed that advice if I'd have known what it would bring upon me. Oh, Finola, and Cumlicon, oh, Eve, oh, Fiachra of the beautiful arms. It is not ready I am to go away from you, from the borders of the harbour where you are. And then Lear went on to the palace of Bovdug, and there was a welcome before him there, and he got a reproach from Bovdug for not bringing his children along with him. That is my grief. It is not I that would not bring my children along with me. It was Eva over there, your own foster child, and the sister of their mother, that put them in the shape of four white swans on Loch Davre, in the sight of the whole of the men of Erin. But they have their sense with them yet, and their reason, their voice, and their Gaelic. Bovdug gave a great start when he heard that, and he felt the truth of what Lear had said, and he gave a very sharp reproach to Eva.
This treachery will be worse for yourself in the end, Eva, than to the children of Lear. What shape would you yourself think worst of being in?
I would think worse of being a dark sprite of the air.
Then it isn't of that shape I will put you now.
And with that he struck her with a druid staff, and she was turned into a dark sprite of the air there and then. And screaming she went away on the wind in that shape, and she is in it yet, and will be in it till the end of life and time. As to Bovdug and the Tuatha De Danann, They came to the shore of Loch Davre, and they made their camp there to be listening to the music of the swans. The sons of the Gael used to be coming no less than the men of day to hear them, from every part of Erin. But there never was any music or any delight heard in Erin to compare with that music of the swans. They used to be telling stories, and to be talking with men of Erin every day, and with their teachers, and their fellow pupils, and their friends. Every night, they used to sing sweet music of the Sidhe, and everyone that heard that music would sleep sound and quiet. Whatever trouble or long sickness might be on him, for everyone that heard the music of the birds, it is happy and contented he would be after it. These two gatherings now of the Dwath de Danann and of the Sons of the Gael carried on around Loch Davre through the length of 300 years. And at length, Fionnuala said to her brothers,
"Do you know that we have spent all the time we have to spend of our time here, and but this one night remains?"
There was great sorrow on the sons of Lir when they heard that. They thought it the same as to be living people again, to be talking with their friends and their companions on Loch Davre, in comparison with their going on the cold, fretful Sea of Moyle in the north. And they came on the morrow to speak with their father, and with their foster father, and they bade them farewell, and Fionnuala made this lament:
"Farewell to you, Bavdurg, and the man with all whom knowledge is pledge, and farewell to our father along with you, Lir of the Hill of the White Field. The time is come, as I think, for us to part from you, O pleasant company. My grief is that it is not on a visit we are going to you. From this day on, O friends of our heart, our comrades, it is on the tormented course of the Moyle we will be, without the voice of any person near us. 300 years there and 300 years in the Bay of the Men of Domnann. It is a pity for the four comely children of Lir, the salt waves of the sea to be their covering by night. O three brothers, with the ruddy faces gone from you, let them all leave the lake now, the great troop that loved us, for it is sorrowful our parting is."
After that lament, they took to flight, lightly, airily, till they came to the Srúna Moyle between Erin and Alban. And that was a great grief to the men of Erin. And they gave out an order that no swan was to be killed from that time, whatever the chance might be of killing one, all through Erin. In our next episode, the children of Lir are forced to flee their homeland and face terrible hardships in bitter winters.
And now for some listener feedback. We've had a lovely email from over the great water.
"Hello, my name is Arden. I live in New Jersey in the US. I love your podcast. My family is very much into Irish and Celtic lore, but this podcast is so much better than just reading the stories. Please continue to educate us with the great level of entertainment you provide."
Thank you, Arden, for your feedback, and best wishes to you and your family. Rest assured, we'll do our best to continue bringing you, and all lovers of Celtic culture, these wonderful stories. Normally, we'd play you a couple of promos at this point with some sort of link to Celtic mythology or culture. But for this episode, we thought we'd do something different.
Ah, yes. Well, I know that you've been reading a novel written by a great podcaster, Scott Sigler. Do you want to tell us about that?
Oh, no, I'm itching already.
Tell the listeners what the novel was first.
It's sci-fi horror, kind of.
Uh-huh. What was it called?
And it's called Infected.
And she's not wrong about the listening, you know. I'd sit there, cuddled up under the duvet, and she'd be scratching while she's reading it.
Oh, my goodness. Did this book make me itch? And it's basically, it's about an intelligent life form that spreads through the air and embeds itself in people's skin. Ooh. Now, I don't want to say any more because it'll ruin it, but it's very, very interesting. And The only thing is, wear cotton gloves wherever you're reading it, because it will make you itch. There's no doubt about that.
I'm guessing it's probably for a more mature audience,
though. Oh, certainly. Yes, not for
kid-friendly.
Yeah, it's definitely not kid-friendly, no. But still a very good story.
Excellent.
And I think Gary's been listening to one of Scott's other novels, is that right?
That's right. After seeing how much you enjoyed Infected, I've made a start on another one of his novels that he's been podcasting called Nocturnal. And Nocturnal, I've got up to about episode 6 at the moment.
Doesn't make you itch, does it?
No. No, it's kind of a crime-based thing, but with some seriously horror-type... I don't know whether it's fantasy yet or what. I don't know. But how can I describe it? It's got these creatures in it that kind of jump up 3 stories and do really horrible, gruesome things to people.
Right.
Again, definitely not for the children, this one. The language is a bit ripe at times, and the violence is quite graphic, but the man has an amazing talent for voices. He uses lots of different voices for his characters, something I strive to do, and he does it really well.
Sounds really good, actually.
Yeah, it's great. It is great. So we thought we'd play the Nocturnal promo for you. And there's another one following that, which is another one of my regular favourites.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, of course you can.
Is Nocturnal in print yet?
I believe it was in print long before Infected was.
Oh, really?
Infected is his latest one.
I think we need to go find it, because I can't listen to audiobooks. I fall asleep. So I should look forward to reading that.
Okay. I also have another regular favourite podcast that I listen to. And it's produced by a very witty American young lady called Christiana Ellis.
Oh, they're great, aren't they?
I
love her podcast.
Superb. And if you listen to these, I'm sure you won't be disappointed. Enjoy.
Beneath the streets of San Francisco, they are waiting, hoping you stay out a bit too late to drink a bit too much and stumble home alone. If fortune smiles upon you, they kill you where you stand. But if you're unlucky, they drag you down into the tunnels to meet their queen. Nocturnal is a free podcast-only audiobook from Scott Sigler, the creator of the sci-fi thriller Earthcore and the number one best-selling horror novel, Ancestor. Go ahead, get your scare on at scottsigler.net. And look for Scott's major hardcover release, Infected, available from Crown Publishing, April 1st, 2008.
Hi there, I'm Christiana Ellis, and in Christiana's Shallow Thoughts, I talk about weird stuff on the internet. No, not stuff that is both weird and on the internet, though I suppose it could be stuff on the internet. Maybe I should have phrased it, on the internet, I talk about weird stuff. Not a lot of it, just a few minutes every day, on whatever happens to cross my mind, like the sexual habits of snails, shoe repair, the objective nature of reality, and exploding kittens. Christiana's Shallow Thoughts, available at shallowthoughts.libsyn.com, or find all my stuff at www.christianaellis.com. New thoughts daily.
Well, thank you, Scott Sigler and Christiana. In several emails and on the forum, we've been actually asked what the phrase is that you use at the end of the show, so maybe you could explain it for us.
Yeah, sure. I say slán go bhfuil, and it's Irish Gaelic, and to the best of my knowledge, means goodbye for now. We've also been asked to bring you some other phrases, so how about Cora mar agat? This means thank you very much.
Cora mar agat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, let's try that for a while. Great stuff. So to all our listeners, thank you very much for listening and goodbye for now.
Slán go bhfuil agus Cora mar agat.
You've been listening to the Celtic Myth Pod Show, available from CelticMythPodShow.com. We hope you've enjoyed the show and will stay tuned for the next episode. You can send us a quick email or voice feedback by emailing either Gary, that's G-A-R-Y, or Ruth, R-U-T-H, at CelticMythPodShow.com. You can chat to us in the forums on our website. The show notes for this episode can also be found on the website. We'd like to say a special thank you to Kulan's Hounds, who provided us with a theme music for our show. We heard Haghole at the beginning and are listening to The Skylark now. You can find out more about this foot-stomping band at www.sfhounds.com. And thanks again to Diane Arkenstone and Kim Robertson, whose music has been used for some of the incidental music in this podcast. You'll find links to their websites in our show notes.